And it's, I'm sure, been quite a week for you being back again at the U.S. Open Championship. I know that you get to most of them, but every time you get one that's at least relatively close to your backyard, it's pretty exciting. And I'm sure for all the people who enjoy the U.S. Open, and especially the people in New York earlier this year, you had some doubts whether it'd get played or not. But here we are, and we're seeing a bunch of exciting action at Wingfoot.
Yeah, you know, it's special that they are playing the U.S. Open. You know, normally it's in June, but it was rescheduled for this week. And, you know, the weather's been just beautiful, mild. The course is in incredible shape. It's such a historic course, Wingfoot in Mamaroneck, and, you know, not far from New Rochelle, which was the epicenter for the pandemic for months, as you know, Rory. So, you know, it's just great that they decided, yes, they're going to play it. No spectators, unfortunately, but at least the U.S. Open is being played. And, you know, it's a big boost for really that area and all of New York.
Seemed like a lot of the pre-championship hype was that the course was longer, tougher, the rough was going to be up deep, and it was going to be back to some of the U.S. Opens we'd seen in the past. Who knows, maybe including a little bit of what we'd seen at Wingfoot once long time ago when Hale Irwin, I believe, won with a score of +7, and it was called the Wingfoot Massacre. Did you kind of get that feeling, too, that this was... this course was going to show its teeth, and the USGA was really ready for a challenge by these great players?
Well, oh, definitely. I mean, you know, what we saw in round one was unique. I mean, the fact that 21 players were under par after round one, and with, you know, with Thomas, Justin Thomas, shooting the lowest round ever at a U.S. Open at Wingfoot, that 565 in round one. So that was unusual. On Friday, you know, the course showed its fangs, and you know, it was very, very, very tough. The conditions was windier. The pin locations were in more difficult spots. And today, Friday, was, you know, round two, was really what we would expect from this Wingfoot golf course. It's really one of the most challenging U.S. Open venues of all. I would put Wingfoot up there with Oakmont and Shinnecock as the three most challenging U.S. Open golf courses.
Have you taken a walk through the rough out there just to sort of sense how deep it is when we see it on TV and we see TV commentators taking a tall 20-ounce can of Arnold Palmer can out there, drink, and putting it in the rough, and the rough is over the top of the can. I'm not sure it's rough Arnie would have enjoyed, but have you got a feel for how deep it is in places if these players miss the fairway?
I walked the course on Wednesday, and yeah, it's just impossible. First of all, the fairways are so narrow, it's just so hard to hit, you know, your tee shots and keep it on the fairway. Even if you have a great tee shot, you know, undoubtedly it's going to roll into the rough. Now, there are three cuts of the rough. You have the immediate rough, which is 1 inch. Then you have the primary rough, which is 3.5 inches. But then that secondary rough, it has to be more than 5 inches. And it's so gnarly that, you know, a lot of times you can't even see the ball once it lands in there. So obviously the premium is on that tee shot. You have to find the fairway. And most of the players did not do that today. You know, Justin Thomas, he struggled. You know, after that 565 on Thursday, he's 1 under for the championship overall. He shot a +4 on Friday. But, you know, he hit one of like 11 fairways from what I saw. He just couldn't find the fairway. If you struggle like that, then you know you're going to struggle with your score.
And did you have a pre-tournament prediction for who you thought might win this week?
Well, I did predict that Tiger would not make the cut, you know, and I'm right about that, you know, and that I don't want to sound mean, but, you know, Tiger has only been playing it. He only played 6 events. So I didn't think Tiger would make the cut. He shot a +10 overall, +7 on Friday. So I was right about that. But, you know, I honestly picked Dustin Johnson to win. He was just on a roll, obviously one of the favorites coming in, having such a great season the last couple weeks coming into this U.S. Open. And he did not, he hasn't actually driven the ball as well as he's needed to really score to contend. He's has not been in the fairway. He struggled off the tee, and he struggled on the greens as well. So, but you know, people who have picked obviously Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, even Xander are probably going to be right in the mix here.
Well, Ann, what can you tell us about the weather they've had this week? What's predicted for the weekend, obviously, at a U.S. Open? If all of a sudden there's an overnight rainstorm and those greens soften up, it can change everything. What is expected for the weekend? Might the winds come up? Might the rain come in? Or should it be just a nice weekend for golf?
It's going to be cooler temperatures, windy. There's always wind at Wingfoot, so it's going to be mild temperatures, windy, and it's just really the course. It's just so challenging, and when the wind picks up, it's just very, very difficult. You know, the greens are on various sections. The rough is so tough. One of the reasons why Patrick Reed is leading at 4-under by one is he has great short game, and he's such a scrambler, and so he was able to scramble and get up and down from out of the bunker. And he was able to scramble from out of the rough. So anybody who obviously has a great short game, is sharp on the greens, is going to do very, very well because of, the challenges of this golf course. And if you don't hit, your tee shots on the fairway, you basically have to be a great scrambler and have a great short game. So anybody with the sharpest short game this weekend is going to prevail.
And I'm not sure how much you know about this story, but apparently there was some reports that the USGA actually even tried to bring the U.S. Open back to Wingfoot for the 2015 championship, and the club rejected it. What has cleared up between Wingfoot Country Club and the USGA that Wingfoot was not only selected this year, but might be part of a small group of courses that could fit into a U.S. Open rota going forward?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I would imagine, like at most private clubs, the member just really, they'd prefer not to have their golf course closed down for so long, right? So I know at Shinnecock, that's always a big question, because they really have to close down the course and they bring in, in any normal scenario, obviously without a pandemic, you have a hospitality tent coming in, you have tractors, you have, and this happens for months before the championship. So I'm not sure that the members really buy into that. So whatever happened between, the membership and the USGA to get Wingfoot back on this rotation, they must have just, changed their minds. Maybe a whole different, maybe a younger group of members have come in and have decided, hey, the club really could use the money and we'll make the sacrifices and enjoy the championship. As it is now, there's so few volunteers allowed on the golf course with no spectators that, most of the members are not even given tickets to come to the tournament. There's no tickets. So most of the members can't even see the championship this year. So it's just been a real odd year, and who knows what happens between the members and the USGA, but somehow it's come to some kind of agreement.
Is there anything else you're seeing being on the grounds that maybe the rest of us are not seeing, since we're all just sort of forced to watch by television? But is there anything else you think golf fans would enjoy knowing about U.S. Open Championship at Wingfoot that maybe the TV hasn't shown us all that well?
Well, the amateurs have done fairly well. I had the opportunity to interview this young man named John Pop, who got in as the 7th ranked amateur out of, the world amateur ranking, 7 out of 7 that were able to qualify for this U.S. Open. I think he did make the cut. His goal was to make the cut. He's at +5. He's from New Jersey. He's a junior at FSU. I like to follow these young guys, and he was very impressive. He told me the other day that, he had a chance to shake hands with Tiger he asked Tiger's advice, and Tiger said, just have patience out there. And then his other goal was to beat Tiger Woods, and this young man does that. So he will be playing this weekend, and Tiger Woods won't be. So interesting, you know, to see some of these young amateurs doing so well.